Good evening, everyone. It's lovely to see you. You're all very far away, but it's lovely to see you here tonight. And I trust that you will be encouraged and you will be blessed, and that we will be blessed as well as we meet together, as we share with you just a little bit more about what is happening out there in Tanzania. Right at the outset, I do want to extend our thanks to the fellowship here for their continued support over the years, both for the work of the Trust and for Pauline and I personally. It's very, very much appreciated, and we thank you for that. Just two verses in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, two very well-known verses of the Great Commission. And verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. It's hard to believe that actually in April, 9 years ago, Pauline and I set off to Tanzania full-time to the work of Tanzanian Christian Farm Development Trust. And it was the particular work of the children's home which the Lord laid greatly upon our hearts. When we think of these verses and that first word, "go," I wonder tonight, where do you fit in that verse, in that command, "go"? It may be to teach in Sunday school. It may be to go to the market, to witness there each Saturday. It may be some other work, maybe youth camp, it may be farther afield. But if the Lord was to say to you tonight to go, would you be willing to go? You know, it's a difficult decision when the Lord calls one to actually pack up and leave. And sometimes we're frightened, and we're only human. But the Lord has promised that, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And I often think of this verse, and if it was, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," and then you were to go and just, you were on your own, it would be very difficult. But we thank the Lord tonight that he has promised us that he would go with us, wherever it may be. And as I stand here tonight, I thank the Lord on behalf of Pauline and myself as well for his presence with us through the difficult times and the joyful times. You know, the Lord didn't promise us that it would all be easy. And we can assure you that there are times when it is difficult. But we praise the Lord for his presence with us, and he never fails. So the children's home there at Kazima has grown considerably, I suppose, in the past 9 years. And I have a great passion for flowers. And I just want to show you just a few flowers and different plants that we have around Kazima and even further afield on the farm. I'm not going to attempt to pronounce any of the scientific names for these. That's beyond my capability. But just to let you see, and I always marvel at the wonder of God and in His creation. Here we have a zucchini flower, or better known maybe to you as a courgette. And Pauling has been trying to grow these and has been very successful. And if you were to stand and watch, I believe if you were to stand and watch them grow, you would actually see them expanding, the actual courgettes expand while you're there. We have bananas as well. We have over 50 banana plants, and that the seasons can vary as the rains vary from year to year, and depending on the amount of water, the timing of the rains has a big effect. And here on our left-hand side we have Hugo, and on our right-hand side we have Kalala. Hugo is our driver, and Hugo takes the children to school in the mornings, or some of the children in the school to school in the mornings, and he also does the shopping for the kitchen and for all the needs of the children's home there, and anything else that we may find that we need. He is very good at going to places and knows different people. And Kalala on the right-hand side, he's my right-hand man, as it were. And he's been very faithful in his work, and is very, very eager to learn, and has learned a lot in the 9 years that we've been there with him. I had a phone call on Saturday to say that he had an accident on the circular saw, where the circular saw went up the side of his hand here and peeled the whole side, the palm of his hand was folded up. He had to have internal stitches and external stitches. So Kalala is going through a rough time at the moment, so please pray for him. His wife they're expecting their second child, and she's not very well and was admitted into hospital just today. I was speaking with him again yesterday, and he sent me a message today saying that she had been to a different hospital and hadn't been well attended to. And so she went home and then has gone into another hospital to get treatment. Here we have a plant that's called moringa. Moringa is one of the new superfoods, very, very high in nutritional values, every part of the tree. And we have several of these growing around the children's home and out at the farm. Take the leaves. This is leaves dried and pounded to a powder. You can put it in a pepper shaker and sprinkle it on your salad, or you can cook it in your food. It doesn't have much of a taste, but is very, very high in nutrients and vitamins, etc. Bees. Bees, the BRB project, I suppose, was born through Pastor Billy down at Dunseverick. And I was down there one day, and he said, "John, I don't see why you shouldn't, with all that ground, start bees." And to make a long story short, that's what actually happened. And we have 10 beehives, and very shortly after we put the hives up, the bees were in the hives, or some of the hives. If there's any beekeepers here tonight, please come and see me. I want to learn a little bit more. We tried sitting up, going in the mornings when it was cool, to be attacked by very, very vicious bees, and wasn't very successful, although we did get some honey. I've tried going in the midday sun, They say you should try in the midday sun when they're all out harvesting for pollen. That wasn't much use either. And you can see on this photograph, this was our last attempt, and we tried it in the evening. Well, what I believe we did wrong here was that we used a white light instead of a red light, because all the bees were attracted to the white, and our suits are white. And we were just absolutely covered in bees on the third opening of the third hive. And we quickly had to do a very quick examination and close it up. But I don't know if any of you have ever seen a suit, a bee suit. Our bee suits have a veil over the head, and it's got two zips that come round and meet at the front here. And then your front zip comes up and meets, all three zips meet here. And then there's a little flap that's Velcroed over that. But there were so many bees on us, Kalala and myself, that three actually managed to get inside my veil. And it's quite a disturbing effect when there's three inside. But we praise the Lord for safety, and we praise the Lord also for the harvest of honey that we were able to get from that. We had about 8 kilos. They say that we should be getting that nearly from one hive. Well, that was two hives. But pray that we'll keep learning and we'll keep trying and find best what works for us. I did talk to a beekeeper down at Dunseverick, who goes to Dunseverick Baptist, and he said he didn't understand what it was. He thought our hives were wrong, but the type of hives that we use are the hives that is very, very popular in Tanzania. Over this past year, I suppose, over this past year, we have been very, very much concentrating on one of the original building that was put up there at the children's home. We had an inspection, and the health inspector wasn't very happy on the condition of the building. And I went to just look a little bit more closely to it. And this building had been redecorated just the year before. And we have 17 children living in this building, and it was becoming more and more of a hazard to them. We had some people from America who were very interested in funding the refurbishment of this building, and we were excited about that, and we started to think more and more about it, but we realized that to do refurbishment, what was necessary to refurbish that would actually be to knock the building down and rebuild. And then, obviously, what do we do with the 17 children in the home that are in that building? And therefore, we change from a refurbishment to a replacement building. And that's what we started. Sadly, nothing came from America, but we praise the Lord that we received a gift to be able to put in foundations before the rains came. Here on this slide, you can see how even the back wall in the toilet block is actually sinking, and the tiles are lifting up in front of it. And all of this has happened in a very, very, very short time. And we're very surprised that it's in this condition. The foundations were put in, all poured in one day with one mixer and a squad of men with wheelbarrows, no ready mix or anything like that. By 30 odd cubic meters of concrete went in, and we got the blocks on site, and we were able to get it built up. And here we have the children standing on the new foundation, as it were, and they're going to sing for you. So I hope you enjoy hearing them sing. Apologies for the sound there. The wind was blowing up that morning and it was catching on my phone as I was recording it. But the building progressed, kept going. One of the previous team member that was out one year from around Dromara heard about what we were doing and put together a sponsored walk, 32 miles for 32 children that we had in the home at the time. And the response from that was absolutely amazing. And there was close to £20,000 raised to be able to put up our new building. And we praise the Lord for that. There was a lot of work went into it. We made all the steel trusses ourselves. Here I'm welding half of one of them up on a jig that we made. We had to make everything slow process, but we got there in the end, and the building soon took shape. We were able to get the roof on very safely as well. The Lord protected us, working up in heights as low. I wasn't as flexible up at the heights as I used to be, and that's another story, but we praise the Lord for safety there on the building. You know, when we do something like that here, a project like that here, you just lift the phone and you phone for your ready mix, you phone for your timber to be delivered. Well, we had to physically go and eyeball up all the timbers to make sure we were getting sort of half-decent straight timbers, and then they were all cut to width, and we soon were able to get the framework up for the ceiling boards. So this was the stage that it was that we left it at. Just when we left 3 weeks ago, actually today, it's hard to believe that we're home 3 weeks already, and only another 3 weeks before we start heading back again. Kalala was to do all the plastering, and we're not sure how far on he is with that because of his injury that occurred on Saturday, but I believe he's got the two big dorms and one of the smaller rooms completed. So just pray that Kalala will, the healing on his hand will go go smoothly, and he will not have any long-term effect of not being able to use his hand, and he'll get into action again soon. As I said earlier on, the rains come, and they come down in such deluge at times. We had a 72 millimeter of rain in just over 2 hours, and it came down, right down through all our buildings. And for those of you who have been there, where between our house and the last new building that was put up, it was coming through there about 9 inches deep, and it, as the case when Pauling went to go take one of the children out to hospital in an emergency, she got stuck even before she got out through the gate, and it does such great extent of damage. So it does. And this has resulted because they're digging sand pits. They're digging for sand further up behind us on the hill. And because of the ground that they've cleared, this caused this water to come and flow through like this. Pauline and I did spend one evening with the staff to about 9:30 at night sweeping out the water, because the water had come down into the building that we were replacing, the old building, had gone down in there, and we were busy sweeping it out. The children were loving it. They were enjoying it. They were playing with it in it, and it wasn't very clean, I can assure you. And then they ended up having to be all changed, and their bedding had to be changed, and it was quite a task. But we praise the Lord for help that we have there as well. We have since dug a trench, all hand dug, no JCBs, up on the plot of land just above our site. We asked permission, could we put in a channel, two channels pointing in a V, and the tip of the V up at the highest point, so that the water would come down and run off and go past our buildings, to try to keep things a little bit better there. This is Masanja. Masanja is our oldest boy. Masanja is 13 and is in P7. We have of lately more and more being concerned about their education. The education system isn't very good, and we have children in three different schools, and that causes an issue as well. Masanja was to go into boarding, and we managed to get him out of boarding. Pray that his marks will not go down. That was one of the conditions that we were allowed to keep him out, as well as he is HIV positive and he needs a more nutritional diet, which he wouldn't get at the school. So we do bring before you the huge, huge burden that we have for building a school. We believe that this is what we really need for our children, not only our children, but maybe the children from the local community as well, to help them. Education is very, very, very poor. In the private schools where a lot of our children go, and they only go there if their marks are at a certain point, because they're in competition with each other, they want to be the best school in the area and indeed in all of Tanzania. If their marks are low, then they are not accepted into the school. And here we have Esther and Eva. Esther's in P3 and Eva's in P1, and they go to the local school. And that's, I'll not say much about that. If you want to know a little bit more, come and see me after and I will explain it to you. And here the rest of the children, well, I think this is all the children that are at school. We have 16, I think, at school now. And the others leave on the bus at 7, just after 7 o'clock in the morning. And they're back at 4:30 in the evening. So that's quite a long day at school. And then they have homeworks to do as well. So education is a big thing. And we believe that the Lord has brought these children into our care. And it's our duty to make sure that we can give them the best that there is. And we would really need somebody to come and be in charge of this. I'll let you into a little secret. Pauline and I, since coming back home this time, we've applied for our bus passes. So that's, the years are knocking on, and we don't know how long we have. And none of us know how long we have on this earth. And as long as the Lord enables us and gives us the strength to be there, and it's the Lord's will for us to be there, then we plan to serve Him there amongst the boys and girls. So do pray earnestly regarding that. It's a huge task, and it's the children, and it's their education and their academic that's going to fail. On the previous photo of Eva and Esther, Esther's ADHD and Eva's mild cerebral palsy. So they've been pulling the classes down with their marks, and then they weren't accepted back into the schools. But there's nothing for children like that. Nothing at all. And that's what's concerning us. If they don't pass their exams in P7, that's their education finished. That's it finished. They can't go on. And that's why a lot of people are still not able to read or write. And it would surprise you how many are like that still. You know, the children, they love dressing up. And in case you've forgotten, we're the only children's home in Tobora that will take in newborn babies. And we're the only Christian children's home in Tobora as well. We've had children arrive that have been found in plastic bags at the side of the road, that have been dumped, that are many ways garbage to society. But we praise the Lord that for the facilities that we have for them there at Kazima, a place that we can love them and care for them and show them our Savior's love as well, because He didn't just die for you and I, He died for these little ones, these precious little souls as well. They love doing crafts, they love playing, like most children do. And sadly, in Tanzanian culture, the mothers don't play with their children. They're usually palmed off to an older sibling, and that's it. So reaction is a constant battle for us to we're keeping on at the cares to interact with the children, to play with the children, and many of them don't even know. I remember Pauling had given the children a simple little jigsaw to do, and even the care wasn't able to do that. They've never seen things like that. So it's not only the children. We're giving those who are caring for the children, we're teaching them something different, something that will be useful for them in their own homes and with their own families as well. We have a cat. This is Truman, our cat, and Peter loves the cat, and he asked Bibi, Can I go and play with the cat? I don't know about playing, but Truman just seems just to enjoy it and let him handle them the way he wants to be handled. They love two little swimming pools. We have a bigger one actually, but it's a lot of work. But they love that in the good weather as well. And just some other photos. Here we have the kindergarten ones that our teacher Agnes. There's Agnes there on the right-hand side. And Agnes has been a great asset to the little ones, bringing them on and making them ready for school in their little courses. And we taking them out for little treats. When they get their school reports, we take them all out. We don't say, well, if you don't do well, you're not going. We treat them all the same. And they enjoy going out. And you can see the feeds that they get. We wonder, do we actually feed them at the children's home? The amount of stuff that was set before them. But they also got to the ice cream shop. And they know now where the ice cream shop is. So if we're in town with... Maybe sometimes I would go in a message and I would take some of the boys with me and they would point, Babu, there's the ice cream shop. There's not many that don't love ice cream. Birthdays. There's always birthdays. Birthdays every month, maybe two or three in a month. And we usually group them together. And we bake them a cake, and I've been chief baker in the past few months. So it's, Babu, can you bake a cake? We want chocolate cake. Now it's it used to be banana cake, and now it's moved to chocolate cake. So we get the orders in there for them. This is little Grace, who the Good News Club. Sponsor, and we again thank the Lord for that, and for those who sponsor other children as well. My clicker's not just responding. Well, there. This is Jacqueline and Irene, and we'll see Irene a little bit later on. This is this actually just happened when we were starting our travels home. This is Hamisi. Hamisi is looking very under the weather here, and he's in hospital getting ready for his tonsils, an operation to remove his tonsils. And this happened. There's no specialists in the actual hospitals, and what happens is if you need a specialist, then they will notify you when a specialist is coming. They may come to Deborah maybe three times a year, and you wait until the specialist arrives, and then you are given a time and appointment to see him. Bibi had said to him, when you get your tonsils out, you'll be able to get some ice cream, because ice cream will help cool your throat. And here he is, eating ice cream. Still no smile, mind you. But, you know, there's always little incidents that happen, and here's one of the boys has banged heads on something and got split open, and so there's always always a job like that to do as well. We have 34 children in the home at present, and we love them all dearly. This is little Irene. Little Irene came to us just about a year ago. It was Easter last year. She came, and when she arrived, they discovered that she had a broken leg and a broken collarbone. And we spent a lot of time and actually moved her twice and to two different hospitals, and finally to a third hospital where we finally got her leg put in plaster, and here she is a year later walking around and bossing everybody about as they do. This is our latest arrival. This is Amelia. Amelia came into the home. Her mother is mentally unstable to be able to look after her, and just continue to pray for these little ones that come into our care. This is Craig and Helen Waldock. They're Australian AIM missionaries. They're living on our property at the farm. And in their ministry, they're using the ground there, and the ground, the harvest from the things that they're doing, the growing and trials that they're experimenting with, and teaching farming God's way, and all the harvest from that come back to the children's home. which we appreciate very much. Here we're putting up a new fence to hold in the goats. We have presently around 40 goats that we're hoping to have for meat for the children's home, and that's a little project in itself, and Craig is looking after that for us, and we praise the Lord for that. And here, this year they've grown sunflowers, and you can see how tall the sunflower actually grow. And they also grew peanuts, and this is some of the peanuts here as well that will be going to the children. Maize seems to be a waste of time because the monkeys just come in and just destroy a complete field of maize in a matter of minutes. And we decided to go to other crops where would be a little bit more difficult. Although they like peanuts, they have to dig them out, and it's not just as easy to get. Sunflowers, they do pull the heads and take a mouthful of sunflower seeds out of the flowers when they're ready, and it's always an issue there. This is the little church out at Indivelva, and just to let you hear them singing. Each Sunday we set off with 8 in the Land Rover, and it's usually the bigger ones, and they go there. We praise the Lord that in these past weeks, a month now, I suppose, because we're back here 3 weeks, several weeks before we left, we noticed an increase of people attending, and we praise the Lord for that. And for ones getting saved and baptized there, the church is run by the Faith Baptist Church of Tanzania. This is Jerry Wyatt, an American Baptist missionary who works in Tabora there at the church. And I think we did update you, but for those who haven't heard, this is Sammy. Sammy got baptized, and before she got baptized, a couple of weeks before she got baptized, she was in the little room beside Pauling's little office, and Hamisi had been talking with Pauling and asking a lot of spiritual questions. And Sammy was in the other room, and Sammy came in and said, "Bibi, she says, I want to get saved." And Pauling had the joy of leading her to the Lord. On that Sunday morning, when Sammy decided to get baptized, Hamisi was in tears, and Pauling asked him what's wrong, and he says, "Bibi, I want to get saved." And before that service was even over, he too got baptized. And we praise the Lord for these two who have put their trust in the Lord at this early age. Little Moses was sitting beside me, and he was crying. The tears were running down his face. And I said to him, I said, "Moses, what's wrong?" He says, "Babu, I want to get baptized." He saw the other ones getting baptized. He said, "I want to get baptized." I says, "Moses, before you get baptized, you need to ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart." And the tears dried up. And that was it. Pray for the others. We don't force them. We don't coerce them. We teach them from the Word of God. We take them to a church where they preach the gospel. We do morning devotions with them. We do Sunday afternoon service with them where they're taught from the Word of God. Pray for them. Pray that others will come to that point in their lives where they realize their need of the Savior as well. We have CCTV cameras in around the children's home for the children's safety, to make sure none of the staff are abusing the kids, and also for theft. We did dismiss one of the carers because we caught her on camera stealing one of the boys' clothes at nighttime. She must have thought that when she switched the light off that the cameras couldn't see her. The cameras have infrared, and we were able to show her the footage, and she was immediately dismissed because we don't tolerate anything like that at all. Because we say what is in the home, even the equipment belongs to the children. That's why it's there. It's for their benefit. It's for their upkeep. It's for their welfare. And it was a joy to see Masanja lying, or shouldn't say lying, but sort of half lying on his bed with his Bible open, reading his Bible and going through his little Bible course that that Pastor Jerry does with anyone who wants it. And Sammy started it as well and is doing very well. And I think there's a little bit of competition now between them, see who can get theirs done first. They have a memory verse to learn. They have questions to answer. And when they complete that, then they move on to the next one. And Saidi, one of the other boys, went and asked for, could he do one as well? He's a little bit more lackadaisical about it, but he still does it. So pray for them. Pray that the Lord, that they will be encouraged in the Lord, and they will grow spiritually and grow to be men and women of God. More flowers. These flowers are called angels' trumpets, and they are, the photograph doesn't do them really justice. They could be anything from 9 inches to a foot long, and they are absolutely beautiful. And that reminds me of this verse in 1 Corinthians 15 and 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You know, time is short. Over this past year with COVID-19, we never knew what the next day would bring. And here we have this quote from C.T. Studd. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And another favorite one of mine from C.T. Studd is, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. And as we've just come through Easter and remembered again, I suppose more our memories have been focused on what Christ done on the cross for us, how that shoots home to our lives, that no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. I trust that you have been encouraged with what we've seen, what I've tried to explain. Sometimes it's not easy explaining things, and because we know it inside out, as it were, And we're assuming that maybe you know it inside out as well. But if there's any questions or anything you want clarification on it, please come and see us afterwards. We do have on the table outside in the foyer, there's little prayer cards there. Take one. It'll help remind you to pray for us. Stick it in your Bible. There's also a form there if you would like to receive our updates. I know Wesley receives them and he prints them out. But if you'd like to get one sent to your email address, well, it's there. We need your signature on it to comply with the legislations that are in place. So if you would like that, please make yourselves avail of that.